The next Tina, Ol Yasher Ta'avta, describes the loss of the Mikdash itself. Perhaps this Tina is a reference to the Mishkan, which first followed Bnei Yisrael before coming to an ultimate rest with the construction of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. And this Tina reminds us that, of course, a very important aspect of the Churban, perhaps the most obvious of all, but one that we haven't reflected upon, at least until this point, is the destruction of the Mishkan itself. And it is not a point that should go unnoticed, that the Mikdash, which was such a grand structure, which remains, remnants of it remain to this very day, where one could see, when taking tours of the area of Har HaBayis, and see literally how there are stones that weigh hundreds of tons that are still in the place where they were when they were laid centuries ago. But yet, the Mikdash in this particular kina is referred to as an ohel, a tent. And a tent, of course, is something which does not have a very impressive structure. It is not something which is strong, certainly not something that's going to survive years and wars and earthquakes and the elements. It's something which is very flimsy and tenuous. But when we try to connect with the true meaning of the Churban HaBayis, so we can refer to it as an ohel, because that reminds us that the true essence, the true meaning, the true significance of the Mikdash was not its grandeur and its beauty, but what it represented, a separation, a very significant separation between the inside and between the outside. It's important for us to become more familiar, to become accustomed, to become knowledgeable in what the Mikdash looked like. I recommend that if you haven't done so, to learn through Sefer, to learn through Masechus Midos. There are resources that we have in our library that will assist and aid. There's actually a DVD that was produced this past year by Art Scroll, which described the Mishkan, but certainly had many of the Klei Mikdash, which is helpful as well to get a sense of what the Mikdash looked like, but we should be able to relate to it. I'll never forget 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when in Eretz Yisrael during the Second Lebanon War, so as you remember, there were approximately 1 million people that were displaced from the northern part of the country, and I happened to be in Yerushalayim, and if you've been in Yerushalayim, so you all know that famous staircase which heads from the old city, from the Jewish quarter, down to the area of the Kotel Plaza, as it's called. And I'll never forget, I was walking up the stairs, and there was a family, perhaps of 4 or 5 people, who were walking down. And had they asked me this question in English, I would not have been surprised, nor would I have been disturbed. But in Hebrew, they were literally 3 steps away from turning around and seeing the Kotel, probably for the first time in their life. And they said, "Eifo HaKotel?" They had no idea. Were they walking the right way? Right? Wrong way? It's a place that if you've been there once, you'll never forget where it is. You know exactly where you are. 2 more steps and you see it. But they had no idea. Eifo HaKotel. So again, we can only do what we can do. You know, one Jew at a time. But as far as we're concerned, so of course, I could point to it. I know exactly where it was. But we should become accustomed. We should understand. And we should learn more about the structure of the Mikdash itself. I'd like to share, before we read this Tina, one more thought with you that I came across in a sefer that I picked up last week, Amar of the Aretz, written by the Rosh Hashiva, the Yeshiva of Otniel of Kamenson. And he reflects upon a Gemara in Yoma, which quotes a brisa which says that Arbaim Shana called him a Churban, that for 40 years prior to the Churban there were certain signs that things were not heading in the right direction, that certain miracles that had taken place had become suspended, and other very strange, peculiar signs were observed in the Mikdash. And one of them was, and this is rather haunting, says the Gemara, the doors of the Heichal would open automatically. They had no idea why. There were no springs on them. For many, many centuries beforehand, they remained shut. But these huge, heavy doors were opening by themselves for 40 years. Ad Shigar Behem Rav Yochum and Zakai. And so Rav Yochum and Zakai stood up and he began to point out the obvious. And he said, Yodeyani, Shesov Chasu Bechariv. He turned to the walls and he said, I know that this is an impending sign that bad things are going to happen soon. And Rav Kalmanson tries to understand the significance, the symbolism of these doors that are opening. And he suggests so powerfully, and he does so after describing some of the other symptoms and circumstances of that door, which we won't go into right now, but clearly there were many things that were wrong. But he says that the opening of the door symbolized the emptiness of the mikdash. The mikdash is there to separate between that which is inside and that which is outside. The mikdash is there as a haven where you can come to a spiritually sterile environment and be separated, where there's a havdalah to kodesh l'chol. And the way the people were conducting themselves in that generation, not only outside the mikdash, but even within, was such that there was no need for the separation, because they weren't separating anything. He says, there was nothing happening inside, which was worth preserving. Everyone could see it was empty inside. And although the avoda continued, it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. As we read this past Shabbos, the Navi Yishayo, I don't need lamali rozev chechem. I don't need your karbanos, says God. If you're not going to conduct yourself in a certain way, I need your animals, leave them. Keep, stay home. He says the significance of the door is being open is that there was no separation. So in addition to our taking away from this kingdom, the need to become more accustomed and understanding and knowledgeable about the mikdash, I suggest and I speak to everyone in this room, those who are members of our congregation and those who are not, but whatever Beis HaKnesses that you associate with, be it here or anywhere else, so a Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash ma'at. A Beis HaKnesses is the closest we can get in our door to the mikdash itself. And so to ask ourselves, I know the doors are closed downstairs right now. You'd never catch the doors open over here. It's a waste of money. So the doors are closed. But let's be honest with ourselves. If we were Zocha to see a miracle, what would the doors do right now in our mikdash? Would they swing open or would they stay closed? 40 years prior to the Churban Habayis, the doors of the Heichal opened. Because there was no need for that separation. Because the people had decided that there was no difference between what's going on inside and outside. And that's a question we need to ask ourselves. And it goes both ways. Our job is to be mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. Our job is to see to it that this place is different. And it's also to see to it that we're taking some of the kedusha from within and bringing it out. But it's an important question to ask ourselves. If our doors could swing, would they? Or would they stay closed as we shut them? Are we doing enough to preserve, to maintain, to grow, and to develop the sanctity of our mikdash ma'at that would justify, that would require having walls that are constantly being mavdil between what's outside and what is happening within?